If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine light, power, and glory of the indwelling Lord. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our topic is Keys to Accessing the Glory Realms of the Supernatural. So over each one of you that is listening this evening, through the airwaves, and through the transmission tonight of this seminar, I speak the glory of God. I release the glory, the supernatural power that indwells each and every being. And I speak over your lives the breaking and the cutting loose and the falling aside of everything that would limit and inhibit your full manifestation of the divine glory that is resident inside your own spirit, housed within the tabernacle of your body, and expressing through the kingdom domain of your life. So take a deep breath, and if you choose, if you wish to, receive this blessing. Own it. Take another deep breath and allow it to settle into yourselves and every atom of your being. And now, if you wish, you can repeat with me. I release the supernatural glory of the divine. I release the supernatural glory of the divine through every atom of my personal life, in the authority and the name of the Lord Christ. Take another deep breath. Own it, receive it by faith, and allow it to settle into the very DNA of your cellular memory. And let this be the first day of the rest of your supernaturally empowered, your divinely guided and manifested life. Can we conceive? Let us co-imagine and image in together what living on a new dimensional octave of this earth might be like. This golden age that will be totally devoid of any darkness, anything but love and peace. A place filled with love and peace and the full knowledge of the Lord and the glory of the Lord that covers the earth as the waters cover the sea. I made a list of all the things that would not be on that new earth. But I think rather than going over it, I would suggest you make your own list. If we have nothing but peace and love on the restored kingdom indwelt earth. You make your own list of what we will not have. And then compare it to some of the systems in the world today that we see collapsing and faltering. I think you'll receive a lot of revelation in doing that. And then see how you can adjust your own life to come into alignment with that higher vision of a world manifesting the glory, the knowledge of God, and the peace and love of God, which first must be quickened and activated and expressed through you. How else is the glory of God going to manifest if it doesn't radiate through you? That is why we are on Earth at this strategic point in time. And now, when there seems to be a frenzy of demonic darkness unleashing vengeance and brutality everywhere we look. But is it possible that we are not seeing things as they truly are? How many of us do or even ever have seen things as they truly are? Right, you know, only the truly God realized see clearly what is taking place in reality. But both Ashtar and Sai Baba has stated that the appearance of increasing darkness in the world is only due to the increasing brilliance of the light. You know, you don't see the cockroaches until you turn on the lights. I truly believe that this is the only reason we still see so much rampant demonic activity in this world. It's because we have been standing by and watching, and not actively taking dominion and charge over darkness, or releasing the transforming glory and power of the Word of God. We are the only ones in all of creation that can speak God's will on earth, and the very angels stand at attention to obey us. They cannot be released until we speak the Word. We are the inheritors of righteousness that the angels have been sent, not to operate in their own authority. They have only the authority that the heirs of righteousness, that would be you and me, and those of us that have chosen the way of the Christ, they are inhibited from even acting until we have spoken the word. And we must speak the word through the power of the Holy Spirit within us, which alone is the one that speaks, recognizes, and knows the truth. That is why the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. You know, it was only after Jesus left and ascended that he released the power of the Holy Spirit to the 120 people who were waiting, expecting, and obeying him to wait in that upper room in Jerusalem until they were imbued with the power from on high. Then he said, "You will be witnesses of me unto the very ends of the earth." So many of us are not operating in those supernatural glory realms because we have not obediently allowed the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the receiving of the Holy Spirit, that alone gives us the power of testimony, the power of working miracles, the power of deliverance from every form of darkness. Now, while Jesus was on earth, only those who were filled by the Holy Spirit, or enabled, let's say, by the Holy Spirit, could recognize him and knew who he was. In fact, maybe it was only Peter who, when Jesus looked at him, said, "And who do you say I am?"
And he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you didn't learn that from men, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. So most at that time did not recognize Jesus, even his own family members. And that applies then and now. Now, even though he has put his Spirit within those of us who have assented to his lordship and received by faith full pardon and salvation, we have been sent forth as his ambassadors, his vicars, his regents, his active operatives. And yet most of us are still waiting for him to return and fix the mess. Well, aren't we? Aren't we all looking for some return of the individual Christ? But everything that was wrought in the individual, I believe, in this age we're moving into, will be activated and quickened in the collective. I believe everything can be interpreted now in the collective. That's why I believe that humanity itself is the bride of Christ that is to be offered without spot or blemish. Now, only the blood of Jesus can erase, negate, and completely wipe clean the slate of all misqualified energy in time and space, all sin, all taint of the fall, which brought in the curse of death and hell and the decay of the grave and disease. All of that came in with the fall. All of that was wiped off the record through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary. And death itself was conquered as he conquered the death resident in the earth itself and lifted it in potential to eternal life, which would be its full restoration back to the kingdom, the unfallen divine kingdom. And now, you know, I was thinking today, we're in a similar situation with Sai Baba, who my spirit recognized as the Christ, the anointed one for our present time. And now he has left the physical body. But we are now starting to look forward to his return as Prema Sai Baba. Straight away, the attention started going to waiting for his next return. Yet all along, for all of these years, he has been telling all of us that we are Sai. We are the Christ. We are equally divine. Many times people have asked Sai Baba, are you God? And he's always said, yes, but you are also God. The only difference is that I know that I am God, and you are still in process of remembering that. So there are certain specific keys to entering the dimensional octaves and portals and accessing those particular energetics that enable entrance into the higher dimensional octaves, realms of supernatural glory. First and foremost, as Jesus always said, I am the door that no man can shut. That means we don't have the power to block or close off the ultimate glory that we will all inherit. Perhaps within collectives that are at this moment in time ready to receive of that. But I believe it's an ongoing bestowal that once it has been set as the purpose of God, must come to full fruition, if not now, in the age to come. But it says in the scriptures that we enter the courts of the Lord with thanksgiving. That means when you sit down and begin to attune to the Lord, you begin to enter the outer court of where you could have direct encounter with Him through thanksgiving, which I believe starts in your prayer closet, so to speak, and ends up with an ongoing attitude of gratitude that is with you at all times. But first things first, instead of giving your litany and wailing before Lord, God help me, God save me, God do this, God do that, instead of doing that, why not start with your gratitudes and offer the sacrifice of praise? Because it's the thanksgiving, the gratitude, and the praise that really soften and grease, as it were. You're slipping through the bondage of the lower realms and entering into the higher states of consciousness. Next, after thanksgiving, you enter His house with praise. What is His house? That would definitely be the kingdom within and the operation of the supernatural glory realms without. Because within becomes the without, and the without becomes the within at that point. So to enter the house, the direct consciousness, the supernatural realm of God, you do that through praise. What's praise? Oh, you're a good God. No, not like that. Praise is, it's a strange word when it's rendered into English. I really believe that when you're in a state of loving God, that every cell in your body rings and sings with God's praises. And we best praise God when we're actively serving His people. We praise God with every loving act that we extend to another. That is, to me, true praise. But to enter the presence of the Lord, the Holy of Holies itself, we must enter through worship. Again, what is worship? It's not exactly what you see on a church stage or in the church congregation, but it's really to be moving and living from attunement to the Spirit of Truth within you. That's how we worship God, is through the work of our hands when it's empowered by the Holy Spirit, when our words are impulsed by the truth of the Word of God. And remember, you are an embodiment of the living Word of God, because all things were spoken into existence by that primordial Word. Everything was created by the Holy Spirit through the Word. That's why it's so important for us to be Spirit-activated and quickened and born again into these higher Spirit-filled realms, so that we can discern the Christ Spirit and move in concert with the truth of the living Word within us, and be nurtured by the bread of life, which is the substance of the Christ, when it's released within us, is nourishing, energizing, and keeps us regenerated from within. We saw that very much operating in Sai Baba's life. He used to work for hours and hours and hours under the blazing hot sun, serving each devotee individually. Whether he was feeding them or whatever he was doing, his robe would be dripping with perspiration under his arms, and he would keep working and working and working. He never seemed to tire. I remember one time when I was sitting under the tree in Vrindavan, where we used to gather for darshan, and we would sing the sacred bhajans. I remember it was pouring rain, and we thought, oh, Swami won't come out to give us darshan because it's pouring rain. I'll never forget it. He walked out of his little bungalow where he lived in the early days in the 70s, walked through ankle-deep mud, came into the little mantapa, the little shed under which we were sitting, under the boughs of this enormous tree. And I remember the water drops had all gathered in his halo of black woolly hair, and they were glistening like so many diamonds. And I was sitting right in front where I could watch his feet, and he didn't leave a wet footprint on the pavement. There was no mud on his feet, and there was not a single drop of rain on his silken robe. I'll never forget that. Very, very supernatural. But if you weren't watching, you wouldn't have noticed it at all. Because with Baba, there was never any announcing, no fanfare, no. There was just the natural Christ manifesting the glory of God all the time. There was no ego involved, no show, no parade. So today we're having our parades rained on, and we're having our parades interrupted. I call them divine pattern interrupts, because many people are homeless, without jobs, being uprooted from relationships and situations and all sorts of things. Nothing seems to be stable right now, unless you're centered in Christ, in the Lord God of your being. So let me ask you, are you really wanting to recreate your old life? Well, take a look. Because if you find yourself in a situation where it appears that you've lost all support, or let's say your customary means of support, let's say your source of income, your home, a sudden change in your job, or a relationship with your spouse or another loved one, or your finances, before you ask for the restoration of your customary life, and certainly before you ask for financial support, or a new relationship, or a specific job, I suggest you first find out if God is supporting your continuing in that same situation, in that same relationship, in that same area, in that same occupation, or whatever. Get alone with God. You know, mute that silly cell phone. Better still, toss it off the nearest hill. Get quiet and alone with God, and sincerely get his counsel. Seek his counsel. What is he doing in this situation in your life? What is he trying to teach you? What is he revealing through the circumstances you find yourself in? You know, it's a good idea when you go out and do this kind of inner counsel, that you take a notebook and a pen and write down the thoughts that he causes to arise in your mind. Because the minute you turn your attention to him and seek his counsel, he begins speaking. Don't think that Neil Donald Walsh is the only one that has conversations with God. God has conversations with all of us all the time by every conceivable voice and media. In fact, the Course in Miracles says that all voices but echo the one voice for God, and the voice for God is the Holy Spirit within you. So know that God in the aspect as the Absolute Father is in the inner realms, in the God realms, the throne realms, I call them. God as the Christ, manifested as Jesus the Christ, is sitting at the right hand of the Father in the administrative position as an intercessor for us within the higher courts of heaven, or the divine throne realms. And the Holy Spirit lives on earth inside you. So you have access to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But God the Holy Spirit is the one that is on earth in you at this time and is there to reveal the Christ to you, to remind you of the teachings of the Christ, to bear testimony and witness to the truth, and to release through you the glory, the power, the dominion, and the authority of God the Father and God the Son upon earth. And to do the same miracle-working, resurrecting power that was done through Jesus by the same Holy Spirit. Only then it was in him, and now it is in us. We are his visible body in this world. So bear in mind that God's presence always assures supernatural support and provision. Always. No exception. Now for the future, you know, the ancient Israelites were told only to take enough manna for the day. I don't know if you're aware of it, but in that 40-year period of time when they were wandering in the wilderness, their shoe leather didn't wear out, their clothing didn't wear out, not a single one was lame or sick, their water came out of rock in the middle of the desert when Moses struck the rock. Their food was given each day in the form of manna, but they were told only to take what they needed for the day, the only exception being they could take enough for the Sabbath, because on that day they rested. So that tells us that we don't have to stockpile things to protect ourselves against future lack. That's really proclaiming your faith in lack rather than your faith and knowing of God's provision. So likewise, unless the Lord constructs the house of your life with you, your labors are in vain. Your house, your life, must be constructed upon the solid bedrock of the Lord and maintained by your ongoing relationship with the Lord. What is that relationship? Holy communion. Communion. To be in yoga, yoked, linked, consciously and in an ongoing manner with the divine presence within you. God is always speaking in your mind. Those are the thoughts that tell you to go beyond your fears, beyond your limitations, beyond your self-interests, to step out boldly. Those are the words of the Lord. On the other hand, your ego, your lower mind, your human mind, your carnal mind, always tells you to look out for number one first and to H-E-double-L with everybody else. So you know that that is not the voice of God within you. That's the voice of what you could call your inner demon or your lower self, that false self, that inner liar. So we can only discern the Word of God, the truth of God, by staying in connection with the Holy Spirit. And we've given you the keys to that. Thanksgiving. Praise. You know, doing good works, loving God, and worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Again, letting the divine flow through you unimpeded. Having the courage to act boldly on those things that you're told to do. And if it's too hard for you, you can be absolutely certain that that's the Lord guiding you, because he will always guide you to an area that you are totally incapable of handling on your own. Big clue. So there's very specific keys to operating and opening these dimensional portals of the supernatural and of the glory realms and of the kingdom of God. And in these realms, faith serves as the open sesame. Yeah, faith. Without faith, it's impossible to operate in anything that is truly supernatural. The whole thing is a walk in absolute trust, because you will never see where you're going. You will never know the outcome. It's not given for you to know the future, because you're creating the future in a totally new transcendental way when you access the glory realms. So, number one, you must enter through the Christ. And the Christ, in the entrance beginning level, is Jesus and accepting full pardon of all your sins, disqualified energy, misendeavors, errors, whatever you want to call them, all the things that have stood between you and an open-hearted, trusting, loving relationship with God. Number one, you come to Christ and accept the full work of the cross. Then you are washed white as snow by his shed blood and given a supernaturally birthed new life. And then you allow yourself to be filled with the Holy Spirit, which occurs at the very moment that you receive Christ. But the baptism, the full empowerment of the Holy Spirit, comes when you are completely emboldened in that Spirit. And the evidence of that is that you begin to speak in a heavenly language. If you carefully read the Bible, there's not one single instance in which people were filled with the Holy Spirit that they did not speak in tongues. There's two kinds of tongues. One is the ability to speak. In fact, they've done some study now. People who are linguistic scientists have now discovered that the Holy Spirit language is a definite tongue. It's a definite language. We used to think it was just a supernatural language in some cases, and in other cases, a known language upon the earth. But the linguistic data that's been coming through reveals that these are very, very ancient languages that are, by and large, no longer spoken upon the earth. So the value of that is that it releases two endorphins in your brain, which gives you a long life and a healthy life, because it vivifies the thymus gland. It activates the thymus. It fills you with supernatural energy and power. But I have found personally the biggest characteristic that I personally experienced is that I went from a timid, shy person lacking in self-confidence to enormous boldness, just absolutely impersonal boldness in your face to testify of Jesus Christ and to speak of the things of God. I did not have that before. And it rises up within you as a tremendous power, which is called the anointing, which I like to call God's enabling, or his kiss of approval upon what you're doing. So these are the two things that I have, in all my years of study, not found that you can wiggle around them. I find the same teaching in the teaching of Sai Baba. He just completely teaches it in a slightly different way. Not to Christians. To Christians, he talks much like I talk. But to those of other faiths, he will speak to them in the metaphors and language that they can comprehend and understand. But in each case, he's telling them to recognize the divine spirit, surrender to that divine spirit, and be filled and operate from that divine spirit. So where's the difference in the teaching? In fact, I have to thank Sai Baba for causing me to return to my Christian roots. I had gone on and become a Hindu. But why? Because I really like that universality. And universality is wonderful, but not if you're just following outer gurus and outer religious doctrines, and you're not walking in the power of the living Son of God. And moreover, you're not walking in the glory of the Father or the full understanding and realization of the truth of the Holy Spirit. If you're just, you know, mouthing mantras and, you know, doing the outer worship, like, you know, nominal Christians, same old, year after year, no transformation, no miracles, no signs and wonders, just, you know, sitting there and warming the pews, that's not a Spirit-filled life. So it's by the radiation of the glory of the divine presence through you and through your thoughts, words, and deeds that God's kingdom and this golden age is going to manifest upon earth. So Baba kept saying that again and again, that, you know, it's through us that his message and the glory that, was manifesting through him will be made known on the earth. In fact, he attributes the presence and the worship and bhajans and the good works and the service done by his body of devotees that has kept us from going into a third world war and an atomic catastrophe, which he said, by the way, is not going to occur. It's not going to be an option because there was enough devotion to cause him to manifest and to hold him on this planet, and to take root in us through his teachings. And not just the teachings that come through the mouth of Satya Sai, but the Holy Spirit that indwells many. We have to learn to think outside of the box and not to see Sai Baba as separate from Jesus or separate from ourself or separate from anything. These divine incarnations come for all people. They don't belong to any small group or any little secular or religious group. They're for everybody. So consider this. You know, we've been, I'm a Christian and I've been looking at this thing of rapture. I've been expecting the rapture to be interdimensionally, supernaturally, suddenly snatched up, which is what the word means, to be seized suddenly, and caught up in the air to be with Christ. We're going to meet Christ in the air. Can that dimensional shift really be referring to our ability to access and suddenly be caught up into the glory realms? Is perhaps this the second coming of Christ? I don't know. I'm just asking. Maybe we can contemplate on that and see what the Holy Spirit reveals to us. Because remember, when Jesus left the first time, his apostles really, when they got over being depressed and freaked out because their master had left, they began to expect his return straight away. Much like we feel now with the passing of Baba. I mean, we've all pretty much freaked out. It's a horrible thing to have the one that you regard as God and the Christ suddenly leave the body. He didn't have to resurrect his body. Jesus Christ already broke the curse of death off of us by resurrecting. So that has already been released to us, the power of resurrection. Avatars and ascended masters can come and go. They don't necessarily have to sustain a body. You know, they don't have to redo what Christ already did. Each one has a different gift to give. So could this be the coming of Christ, the second coming? Does it mean that collectively we will suddenly get it, that the Christ dwells in us as us, and to release that glory through us, to take that dominion, that authority, and that power that he has accorded to us and to act in his name? It may be. You know, when I was a student teacher of the Alice Bailey teachings, the teachings from the Great White Brotherhood was that the Christ would return only after a measure of peace had been established already upon the earth by the working disciples and initiates in the world. That's why they gave the great invocation to humanity, to evoke and to call forward the love and the power and the will of God and the reappearance of the Christ upon earth as it is in heaven. So, if that be so, then by the time Prema Sai comes back, who will be manifesting in a very different way, in a very different kind of atmosphere. And I was reading what Vasanta Sai, who is the reincarnation of Sita and Radha and will be the wife of Prema Sai, I was reading what she had to say. And she said for the first 40 years of Prema Sai's life, he will live in the home with herself and her son. There won't be that separation as there were in the previous avatars. There will be the family unit. And moreover, his work into the world will only start at the 40th year. She's been given tremendous revelations. And I'm quoting what she had to say from Prema Sai, Volume 1. And she's written many books. But her visions and the things that she shared about the Prema Sai avatar are extraordinary. And Baba even materialized the picture that is her in her next embodiment. And she looks just like you would expect Radha or Sita to look. It's breathtakingly beautiful. So there are many, many things that I'm beginning to realize that we really didn't get when Sai Baba was here physically. We really, you know, at least I speak for myself, a lot of things went right over my head. And I settled, as I suppose a lot of us did, into what we thought was going on. And now we find out that, just like he said, every single thing that he did or didn't do was something that we needed to learn from, that we needed to decode him. Because he was a multi-layered mystery. Everything about him was mysterious. But the Prema Sai avatar will be very different. When Solariel and I were with Sai Baba, and we were living 5.5 months there in the Puttaparthi, we read a book called Petabotu. Petabotu means big dot on the forehead. And refers to a woman that was living in Puttaparthi, which Prema, that is to say Vasanta Sai, her name will be Prema in that next embodiment, Vasanta Sai said that Petabotu, who is now a woman, will reincarnate and be the father of Prema Sai Baba, and Sri Kasturi, the biographer of Sai Baba, will incarnate as the mother. So it's, and he and I were I would say, dear friends. I spent many hours with Sri Kasturi and his wife in those early years. So, again, you see that the soul shifts gender because the one that was a man, Sri Kasturi, will now be a woman, and the one that is a woman, Petabotu, will then be a man. Vasanta Sai will again be the Shakti of God, the wife of God. So these are things that we are meant to decode and understand and apply very personally. I've often said that every single character in the Bible represents a state of consciousness that's resident within us, including Jesus the Christ. Jesus represents our flesh as Son of Man. The Christ represents the Son of God, our divine spirit. We are all sons, all begotten of God. So, in a way, we are called now to really grow up and to come into a deeper, as I spoke of last week, a much deeper and more direct accessing of God and a recognition of God everywhere around us. So I strongly suggest, instead of buying into the scenarios of impending destruction and Armageddon and Antichrist and all of that stuff, quite frankly, I think that that whole scenario has been scrubbed. I really think the coming of the Avatar Sai Baba has advanced us way beyond the success of those particular scenarios unfolding. And if that be so, then he has done what Ashtar always says that God does. He takes a stitch in time to save nine. He's accordion pleated and spliced us right through a wormhole into the next dimension without having to go through all of this kerfuffle. Because he said that he embodied to avert the crises that had come upon humanity and to prevent our destruction with a nuclear holocaust. And as I said before, he's accomplished that through every godly man and woman on the planet, whether or not they were, quote, Psi devotees, through all the Christians and all the Buddhists and all the people of God, wherever they may be, by whatever faith. So, a very important thing for you to do also is to cease doubting your God-given abilities. If God said that you are made in his image and likeness, and by his spirit you can do all things, just accept it, believe it, and go with it. Don't second guess God. You'll always lose out by doing that. So cast doubt out. Don't even entertain doubt for an instant in your mind. Declare that all things are possible with God, and with God I can do all things. And then bring your thoughts, your words, your actions, your feelings, all of them, train them to align with faith and God's word. So what I believe will happen is a collective baptism in the Holy Spirit. I believe that's happening now as the Spirit is being poured out on all flesh. And a supernatural revelation of the glory and power of the indwelling Lord. The Master Joel Cole said in the Alice Bailey teachings that at this time, we're going to have a supernatural revelation of the nature of God and the nature of the Son. Because the Son, the physical Son, is but the symbol of that inner Son that dwells within us that we pray to when we say the Gayatri Mantra, which is an evocation of the Sun, the indwelling Bodhi, the divine illumined mind within us. So with that collective baptism, I believe there will be the releasing of the heavenly languages, which will enable us to not only speak, but to understand supernaturally the language of light, which again goes beyond the spoken word to the direct communion with the living light and the living sound of the living word of God within us, in us, and as us, and through us, which of course will decode the whole mystery of creation and reveal the true, they're searching for the God particle with sun, with CERN. But actually, God himself will reveal himself through the mystery of understanding the atom and that spark of light within each atom, which is the God particle. So I believe with this supernatural collective infilling and baptism, this universal Pentecost, this baptism by fire, will come the activation and quickening of our bodies of light, and our collective regeneration, restoration, and healing. Many Christian prophets had, or some, maybe not many, Catherine Coleman for one, and Benny Hinn for another, have had the revelation that everyone will be healed and restored to optimum health, youth, and strength through this endowment, if you will, this imbuement with these higher codes of light. So what has occurred to a few and to more and more groups of people right now, as there are little pockets of revival and charismatic infilling throughout the world, will now occur, I believe, to the whole of humanity. And it could be that is why Sai Baba has transferred his attention now to his universal cosmic persona. In fact, he said that he had to leave at this time because he needed to go throughout the world to many places and save his devotees. And again, he's not just speaking of people who follow the form of Satya Sai, but the lovers of God wherever they are. So he has expanded to do serious business with the forces of darkness that are trying to block this golden age. The Illuminati are trying to start a one-world government and a one-world godless, crossless, Christless religion, kind of a hodgepodge of everything without the saving power of the blood, the cross, and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That's that false religion. And they may use a head of a church to be the one that promotes that kind of, hodgepodge, cotton candy kind of religion. I don't know, but what I do know is that Sai Baba will be victorious in defeating those forces because it's a replay of the Mahabharata, in which Krishna and the Pandavas, just five of them, overcame the 100 demonic forces that were arrayed in battle against them. So on a big cosmic level, a systemic level, a universal level, the same war is being waged, only it's in the heavenlies and also upon earth. So we're the ones that have to bind those demonic forces on earth and take authority over them. They must obey us and they must leave wherever we stand in that God-given authority. They must leave. They cannot stand in the presence of Christ. They cannot stand where the blood of Jesus has been placed. They cannot stand and abide the glory light of God. So learn to apply the blood of Jesus for your protection and the protection of your home and family. Every day apply the blood of Jesus. And learn to call forward the glory light. When you go shopping, call forward the glory light. Call upon the glory light and release it. You call it and you release it. I release the glory light of Almighty God into this beauty parlor, into this grocery store, into my home, into my body, into my children's school, into my place of employment, into this situation I'm watching on the television, into this storm that looks like it's going to hit my town. I release the glory of God into every situation because the glory of God negates death, decay, corruption. None of that can coexist with the glory. So there is nothing that the glory of God cannot turn around in your life. You don't have to understand what it's going to do or how it's going to do it. You just need to have the faith to release it through your spoken word. Don't worry. The glory will take care of everything. The glory is the manifest presence of God. But you on earth are the only ones that have legal authority to speak for God. And now that Sai Baba is no longer upon the earth, we have to speak it. Because even he in that higher dimension doesn't have legal authority. You have to have a physical body on earth to have legal authority to operate here. That's why discarnates and spirits in other dimensions don't have that same power, and that's why Jesus Christ does, because he resurrected his body. So he's not dead. He's the only one that didn't actually die. Yeah, and even today they're trying so hard to disprove the resurrection, but it's impossible. There's no way in the world they could duplicate the imprint on the shroud or negate the power of his crucifixion. And believe me, if they've ever, ever found a body or any kind of proof that Jesus didn't resurrect, man, that would have been all over Rome. But they never found a body, and they could never explain or deny. So that is just the dark forces trying to rob you of the power that was purchased for you on the cross at great, great cost to the beloved Savior, Jesus Christ. So I believe that what accrued again to a few is going to happen to all of us. And we can receive it now tonight by faith. I believe the dark scales will fall from humanity's eyes, and we will all see the glory of God. And we will see the Lord as he truly is. It's as if we but see him and ourselves darkly, you know, through the dark glasses now. But in time we will see him as he is and ourselves as he has always seen us. So you see, the Lord has redeemed and released you from every dark domination and power with the power of his shed blood. And he's filled you with the glory of his Spirit. And he has commissioned you to do the same things he did in his name. So here are your keys. Number one, full trust in the Christ within you. Number two, apply the blood and break off every chain of bondage and protect and guard you from every manifestation of darkness. Number three, release the glory of Jesus Christ into every place and situation in which you find yourself. Number four, look for and expect and really expect to see miracles. Expect to see signs and wonders that always come where the true gospel is preached. It's always affirmed by miracles, signs, wonders, healings. There's, you know, God never shows up quietly. There's always a manifestation when the Holy Spirit manifests. So speak God's kingdom and his glory on earth as it is in heaven. And we are here to invite and welcome and anchor God's kingdom upon earth. So start now. Put your hands on your body, whatever and wherever you have dis-ease or where it hurts, and apply the blood of Jesus. The blood cancels and renders null and void every curse of sin and demonic activity, every shackle of bondage. Command it to go now. It must go in the name of Jesus. And now release the kingdom and glory of God into every cell and atom of your body. Break off every appearance of lack, limitation, and misfortune in the name of Jesus, in the power of the glory. And apply that glory light everywhere. Fill your life with the glory of God and release it into every situation in which you find yourself. So, you have been listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command with Commander Lady Athena. And I bless each one of you, releasing again the glory of the supernatural power of Almighty God into each and every one of your lives. In the name of Jesus, let's go out chanting. And I heal. Deep breath. Baruch Hashem Adonai. God evening.